Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear. In Jesus' name. In Numbers chapter 21, you don't have to turn there, we're just going to be there for a moment. In verse 8, the Word of God says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." There was a provision given by God, and it was a provision of looking. It wasn't the same as a provision of sight. But God had told Israel to use a gate to receive something. One of the most powerful entrances into the soul of a man is the eye gate. And there is a good reason for this. Whatever a man, and that of course includes women, but whatever a man looks upon, that enters through the eye gate. And when it enters through the eye gate, it makes an impression in the soul. And the impression that is made in the soul will often determine whether the person lives or dies. Just like it did with Israel. When they looked upon the brazen serpent, and only when they looked upon the brazen serpent did they live. If they did not look upon the brazen serpent, they did not have the right information coming in through the eye gate. And because they lacked that information, they died. So as it said in Numbers 21, if a man looked upon the brazen serpent, he lived because the right information entered into the eye gate. Now turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 2. And starting in verse 1, the Word of God says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things." How can that be? How can God say, you've judged, and therefore you have done the same things? Because very often, no. The person who has judged has not done the same things. Maybe somebody judges someone for a weakness or a failure, and they do not possess that weakness or that failure in their life. How can the Word of God say that they do the same things? They do not do the same things. What does it mean here, they do the same things? And then in verse 3 it says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things, and thus the same?" Well, no, they don't do the same. The Pharisees didn't do the same as the publicans. Yet they judged them, but here Paul is saying they are doing the same things, but no, they did not do the same. So what does he mean they do the same? And he says, "Thinkest thou that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despise thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee repentance?" How can the goodness of God lead somebody to repentance? Isn't that really just giving a license to sin? Isn't it really saying, oh, God will be kind to you, God will be merciful to you, God will be gracious to you, God will not condemn you? Isn't that really just saying, okay, go ahead and live any old way you want to live, you can go ahead and sin? Isn't that what it's really saying? Because if we take it the way that the words appear, apart from the Spirit's application, how many people use that and say, I can sin? How many times have you heard somebody, hey, God's going to forgive me, party time. And they're not talking about anything godly. They're saying, okay, now I can go ahead and sin. God's going to forgive me. I can go ahead and sin. I'm okay. No problem. I can do whatever I like. No problem. But then on the other hand, if somebody judges that person, they've done the same things. When they didn't do the same things, how can that be? Like, there's a certain inconsistency to this, don't you think? Well, on one level, yes, there is. But not if you understand how this actually worked, then no, there is no inconsistency at all. Let's continue. But after thy hardness, an impertinent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of judgment and revelation, according to the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And he's not talking to the sinner here, he's talking to the one who's judged. And God said, you did the same things, and I'm going to render unto you according to your deeds. How can that be? Doesn't that sound unjust? Really, isn't that the merchandise that Satan trafficked in heaven in Ecclesiastes 28:18? Isn't that the merchandise? God is unjust. Look, He's going to be kind and gracious and call them clean and pure and call those things that are not as though they were. And yet God is unjust because some people are sinners and some people are wrong and some people are off and other people are godly and they do not commit those sins and they have a right life. So how can God say no, it is not that way when it is obvious that it is that way? But yet, isn't that the very thing that Satan did in heaven that caused one third of the angels to fall, living in an angelic tree of knowledge of good and evil that killed the angels in their separation from God? But how is it that this is just then? See, the key to this is in Proverbs 23. In the A part of verse 7, the Word of God says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So much of our life as believers, our life with God, depend on this very thing. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. What does that mean? I may judge someone in my heart, but it does not mean that I have committed their sins. Or does it? Because Paul says it does. Paul says you've done the same things. And I can say, no, I haven't. But the Bible says, yes, you have. How can that be? Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. How can I be what I think? I'm not a murderer, drug addict, fornicator, whatever else you may have out there. How can that be? There's something about the eye gate. And it's the very same thing that preserved Israel in the wilderness when they looked at the brazen serpent. There's something about the eye gate. You see, the eye gate goes to the soul. And in the soul, there are mirror images. There are mirror images in the soul. See, the thing that happens to believers, and this has been scientifically demonstrated, is that whatever I see, and even the things that I hear, my soul reflects them as an action. Now, there is a type of nerve cell in the brain. For those of you who do not maybe know, the brain is simply a cluster, an extremely large cluster of nerve cells. And in different areas of the brain, there are nerve cells called mirror neurons. And these mirror neurons greatly influence the way that we think as believers. You see, how does a child learn, for example? A child doesn't learn through a manual. Okay? It doesn't say, okay, pick up the fork. The fork is the thing with the prongs. Okay? It's usually located next to the plate. Pick up the fork. Jab the food with your fork and bring it to your mouth. There is no manual like that. And a mother does not explain to her youngster, you know, pick up your fork, jab the fork and bring it. No. The child learns that the fork is for food by watching mom eat. Why? How does that work? It works with mirror neurons. You see, it's the mirror neurons that we have in our brain that teach us. And not just teach us, but that make us who we actually are. One of the things scientists have discovered is, why do people love football? And the reason is mirror neurons. See, I was born with a love for football. I can't help it. Why do people love watching athletic events? Or why do some people in the world love romantic movies or romantic books? Why is it that people love to watch other people? It's the mirror neurons that do this. See, this is how it works. I see something, and the mirror neurons fire in my brain. And then I do the same thing, and the very same mirror neurons fire in my brain. Or I do something, and mirror neurons fire in my brain, and then I see it, and the very same mirror neurons that control the action fire in my brain to control the thoughts. You see, in my brain, there is no difference between thought and action. This is why the man who judges another is guilty of the same things. Because as I bring the reflection of somebody else's action into my brain, the very same mirror neurons that caused that person to control their actions as they had that failure, perhaps, or weakness, the very same mirror neurons fire in my brain. See, there are mirror reflections, mirror images in the soul. And so, when I see something, I have done it in my brain. And although perhaps in my outward experience I have not done it, and therefore I do not have to perhaps suffer some of the painful consequences that can come with certain types of mistakes, but nevertheless, I have done that which I have judged, because my brain occupied, remember, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So my brain fired off the very same neurons that caused the action. There is no difference, scientists have found out, between the neurons of thinking and the neurons of action. They are the very same nerve cells. So in truth, what is the difference between a thought and an action? Very little. Very little. This is why Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, I say unto you, whoever looks at a woman to lust after hath committed adultery with her already. Why? The very same mirror neurons that would be fired in an act of adultery are fired in its consideration. And so all I do is look, and the mirror neurons are triggered. Do you see why it is so unbelievably, crucially important to guard your heart with all diligence in Proverbs 4:23? Because out of it do come the issues of life. It is what makes me who I am, and not just in my thought life, but science tells us, and the Bible does also, that it comes in my experience that way. This is why people love certain things, because they live vicariously, and they really do live it. Scientists have conducted research on sports events. Why do people love sports events? Because when they see the event, the same mirror neurons are firing in their brain as in the brains of the athletes. And they are living vicariously through mirror images in the soul. This is why I guard my heart. This is why we make a covenant with our eyes or a covenant with our ears. Because if I see it, I have done it. What happens if I glimpse something that was there and I did not intend to look at it? It's not the first glimpse, it's the second. In the first glimpse, I turn away. In the second glimpse, I've done it. These mirror neurons, they are hardwired in our brains. They are a physical, biological component of our brain anatomy. We can't get rid of them. Do you see why it is so important? These people who watch these programs, for example, on television, and they are unclean, impure. As they are watching the impure act, they are conducting the impure act in their own life. Why? The very same neurons are firing in the brain. Do you see the difference? Do you see how Satan tries to destroy a society and Christianity and a believer's life through things like television or movies or whatever, wrong books, wrong magazines, whatever else people are into? Do you see why these romance novels are so devastating? Or these romance programs are so devastating? Because they are committing adultery as they are watching them. They are fornicating as they are watching them. And they say, no, it's just entertainment. I would never do that. You've already done it. Guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart with all diligence. Hey, guard your heart with all diligence. Check what you allow into the gates. Check it very carefully. Because you're conducting something. The problem with this is when the mirror neurons fire, I learn. And as the mirror neurons fire, neural pathways are established in the brain that teach me how to do the thing that I saw. This is how children learn. They see and learn. Got news for you. This is how all of us learn. We see or we hear and we learn. And if I am giving my gaze to the wrong thing, then the wrong mirror neurons are going to fire. And I've learned the wrong thing and I have become the wrong person. Why? Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I've got these mirror images of the soul that are changing who I am and my experience. Although in my physical body I may not conduct these activities, but I have, in fact, already done them. If I judge a believer for a weakness or a sin, then I have already conducted that activity or that weakness. Because the very same mirror images are in my soul as are in theirs. The very same mirror neurons fire as I'm thinking about somebody's weakness and the weakness becomes my own. This is why the power of suggestion is so strong. It's about mirror neurons. And this is exactly what people do when they fellowship with the wrong thing. Is they get mirror neurons firing and they have committed the act that they say they would never commit. That they just like to be, and I can't for the life of me understand why, but they like to be entertained by. It's about mirror neurons producing mirror images in the soul. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You see, Jesus wasn't talking figuratively when he said, even if you look with desire, you have already committed adultery. That wasn't figurative. That was real. Because these mirror neurons are not a theological concept. They are an anatomical part of your physical body. And so to say, I have not, but I've judged, or I've watched, or I've considered, or I've entertained. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Because these are the mirror images that are now established in your soul that form your experience. And so Jesus said, look upon the brazen serpent. Because as you look upon the brazen serpent, mirror neurons are firing. And those mirror neurons cause the cross experience to become your experience. And this is why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me, in Galatians. Why? Because those are the very neurons that are firing in his brain. And those are the very neurons that are firing in our brains as we look upon the brazen serpent in all the circumstances of our lives. Not thinking about the things that are before us, not thinking about the things that were before this time, not thinking about the things that are going on now that I might perhaps not like or may be difficult for me. I look at the brazen serpent, and the brazen serpent becomes my experience because the mirror neurons are causing mirror reflections of a crucified Christ and a risen Savior in my soul, and I'm risen with Him, seated above in heavenly places. Is the mirror image of the soul. And we now know, documented scientifically, that this is how it works. Make a covenant with your eyes. Make a covenant with your ears and be disciplined in your thought life. Because out of the thought life come the issues of your life. Your thought life determines who it is that you actually are. So the things that you allow into the gates are the very things that make you who you are. This is why we as believers, as born-again believers, can in fact be very Christ-like or very world-like. And we are still born-again believers. Because it's a question of what do we allow into the gates. And if I allow the wrong thing into the gate, then because of the way my brain works, I have already committed that wrong thing. But if I make a habit, a disciplined habit, to only allow the right things into the gates, and to the carnal mind, that may seem a very laborious task, but to the spirit in man, that is a very joyful endeavor. If I allow the right things, and I make a point of feeding on the right things, and I allow only the right things in my gate because I have guarded my heart with all diligence, then I will in fact have the right life. I will in fact possess the right experiences. I will in fact be the right man of God. Why? Because it will make me who I am. It's the gates that I guard. It's the gates. What is it that we allow in those gates? The mirror neurons are going to fire accordingly. I fellowship with godliness. I fellowship with the Word of God. I fellowship with purity. I fellowship with truth. I don't fellowship with negativity. I don't fellowship with carnality. I don't fellowship with foolish jesting. I don't fellowship with the wrong words. I don't fellowship with the wrong images on my television or on my computer or in the magazine. I don't fellowship with the wrong people who are of the world and not of God, even if they are Christians, their practical experiences of the world and not of God. I don't fellowship with them. Why? What did Jesus say? Why? What did He say? Isn't that a little harsh? Isn't that a little bit of separation? Isn't that a little bit unkind? What did Jesus say? He said, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out." If your perception is causing you to stumble, get rid of the perception. In other words, if I am fellowshipping with the thing that causes the wrong mirror neurons to fire, get rid of that thing. Get away from it. Pluck it out. Why? Because it will change who you are. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that your whole body be cast into hell. And if your right hand offends you, cut it off. If you are into some sort of an activity that causes the wrong mirror neurons to fire off, that changes who you are, get rid of it. And I don't care if you think it is somehow profitable to you. Of course you think it's somehow profitable to you. You wouldn't be doing it otherwise. But it's the wrong thing. You know it's the wrong thing. Conviction tells you it's the wrong thing. The Holy Spirit in you tells you it's the wrong thing. The Word of God tells you it's the wrong thing. Your own conscience tells you it's the wrong thing. Get rid of it. Don't go there. You're becoming who you are through your mirror neurons, through these mirror reflections in your soul that you have allowed through the gates. It's changing who you are. Have you ever noticed that when a person falls into sin, they don't necessarily leave God, what you might consider, or they consider, light sin. A little compromise around the edges. Hanging around the wrong people, for example, doing a little bit of the wrong thing, for example, and telling yourself, yeah, it's really okay. And then they get right. But in that process of sin, they had to start defending the sin as the conviction came for a season. They had to harden their heart. And as they were conducting that sin, and even if it was mentally, remember it's the mirror neurons there in the brain, even if it was just mental sin, they became somebody different. And now they might get right, but who they are has not actually changed. They'll get right, but the sin attitude remains. The sin thinking remains. How does that show? For example, somebody withdraws from the body because they are into some form of a sin, and in the body there is conviction. And so they withdraw. But then they forsake the sin. They realize it, they name it, they are forgiven from it, but they're still withdrawn from the body. It's exactly what Satan had in mind. He knows that a well-taught believer is not going to go into outright sin more often than not. But he doesn't need them to. He just needs them to do two things. One, get the wrong mirror neurons firing, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And then live in the effects, even though you've corrected the mistake. People do that all the time. And when they do, it changes who they are. Because the wrong part of the brain has registered. And there is no difference between thought and action in the mirror images of the soul. This is why Proverbs 26:4 says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly." Why? "Lest thou also be like unto him." If somebody is void of God's word, void of God's wisdom, do not fellowship with that person. Why? You're going to become like him. Why? Mirror neurons are going to be triggering in both of your brains. The very same neurons that are causing that person to be foolish are going to be firing in your brain. So it says, do not answer him, do not fellowship him, do not have a place with that person. Why? Because you're becoming the wrong person. This is why in Proverbs 22:24, it says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest you learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." You fellowship with an angry man or a furious man, an emotional man, you're going to learn to be emotional. Why? Because the very same mirror neurons that are firing in that person's brain as they are conducting that sin are firing in your brain as you are observing it. And you have taught yourself something. And it is now hardwired in your brain. See, these mirror neurons forming these neural pathways in our brain teach us things. And when they teach us, we become what we have seen. There are people all throughout Christianity who like the movies. And a movie that's not impure, I'm not legalistic in movies. You get some nice movie that's not impure, that doesn't have suggestive stuff and all that. That's not a problem. There's nothing wrong with having some good entertainment if it's clean and it's not ungodly. Don't make it your portion, but there's nothing wrong with it from time to time. But these people who go to movies all the time, whatever's out, next, they're going to go see it. How many teenagers do you know? And for that matter, adults too, but they just don't have as much time as teenagers, generally speaking. How many teenagers do you know, especially like in high school, who are in the movies like every weekend or every other weekend to see the latest and the greatest that Hollywood has to produce for them? Well, you know what? They're learning something. Why do you think these kids dress the way they dress nowadays? The girls showing half of their cleavage, the boys hanging, their pants are hanging down to their knees. They look like a bunch of fools. Can't even pull your pants up. Hey, pull your pants up. You look like an idiot. McMill apologizes about that one. Your pants are hanging down halfway down your thighs. You're an idiot. You don't even know how to put your pants on. I don't care if you call it hip. Hip is it? You're an idiot. You're a hip idiot then. Can't even think for yourself. Well, they're all doing it. I gotta do it too. Oh, you're a genius. Put your stinking drawers up. Nobody wants to see your butt. Fool. These girls, and our girls are wonderful this way. But you see them all the time in the high schools. These girls showing half their cleavage. Put some clothes on. What are you, some sort of a tramp? Put some clothes on. Somebody on the internet needs to hear this. Where are they learning this? Mirror neurons. Producing reflections in their soul. And they become what they saw, and it expresses in their actions. This is why if I am willing to entertain, not be tempted by, but to actually take the temptation and entertain it. Like Jesus was tempted, but he did not entertain the temptation. But if I take temptation and entertain it, I will eventually do what I am entertaining. Why? Mirror neurons. As I am considering, the very same neurons are firing in my brain that fire when I conduct the action. And it's only a matter of time before I fall into that which I'm entertaining. So you guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard the gates. You guard the gates. How do you guard the gates? In 1 Corinthians 5 it says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to accompany with fornicators. Paul wrote, don't keep company with fornicators. Don't keep company with people who entertain the thought of being fornicators. Because they are fornicators. Don't keep company with them. Why? Because your mirror neurons will establish neural pathways in your brain that make you a fornicator if you do. It says in John 7, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You don't consider according to sight. You don't consider according to sight. You consider according to a faith response to the Word of God. You consider according to a faith response to the Holy Spirit. You do not consider according to sight. You don't consider people. You don't consider circumstances. You don't consider your call. You don't consider anything according to sight. Why? Because it will become who you are. This is why these people who tell themselves, oh, I can, I can't, I can, I can't, according to sight, these people will completely stifle any response and faith that they may have. Why? Because they become who they are. And as they are judging by sight, the wrong mirror neurons are firing, and as the wrong mirror neurons fire, they become someone different. This is why it is only possible to please God by faith, and it is not possible to please Him apart from faith. Why? Because that faith makes me who I am. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, in the B part of the verse, Paul said, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." In other words, I forget the past. Why? Because I'm a new creation, but if I consider my previous failures, then I will become those previous failures once again. If I keep reflecting on the fact that I made a mistake or that I failed, I will become the one who made that mistake once again. Why? Because the mirror neurons that fired when the mistake was made are firing again. And I have the wrong mirror images in my soul. That I am no longer being conformed to the image of Christ, but conformed to the image of my mistake. So I forget my mistake instantly. The moment that I confess it, I forget it. Why? Because the moment I confess it, God forgets it. This is why we forgive people instantly. Even if they have not repented to us, we forgive them instantly. Why? Because as we consider their failure, we become the very same thing. Why? Mirror neurons firing. Mirror neurons. So I don't consider somebody's mistakes because the very same mirror neurons that happened when they were conducting mistake are firing in my brain now. In 1 John 4:17, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the judgment, because as He is, so are we." So what does that mean? That I fellowship with the love of God, and the mirror neurons in my soul, in my brain, give a soul reflection of the love of God, and I become the very expression of the love of God. As I consider mercy, the mirror neurons in my brain fire, and I become the very soul image of mercy. As I consider forgiveness, the mirror neurons fire, and the mirror images in my soul become images of forgiveness. It works like that for everything. Gentleness, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit, all the characteristics of the love of God. As I consider these, the mirror neurons fire and I become the very image of those characteristics. And these are the mirror images in the soul. These make up who we actually are. See, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we cast down all vain imaginations and high things. Isn't that what the Bible says? We cast down all imaginations and high things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. Why? Because if I consider those imaginations and high things, the mirror neurons fire. And there's a mirror reflection, a mirror image produced in my soul where I am no longer the image of Christ, but I am the image of that reflection. So if it is not according to the Word of God, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit being initiated through the Word in my heart, I cast it down. This is how faith works. Because I consider faith and I do not consider sight, there's a mirror image produced in my soul. And I have a confident expectation because by faith I have already seen the results. This is why God calls those things that are not as though they are. Because by faith they in fact are. And I have confidence and I have assurance and I have a conviction about the things unseen. Realities, right? Realities unseen. Why? Because I've already seen them. Because the mirror neurons are firing, producing mirror images of faith in my soul. We're crucified with Christ. There's our identity. We're crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live. Yet not us, but Christ who lives in us. Mirror reflections, mirror images in the soul. Crucified with Christ, seated in the heavenly places. Mirror images in the soul. I am seated in the heavenly places with God. My experience can become who I am. But I am seated above in heavenly places, and my experience becomes the very same thing through the mirror images in my soul, as the mirror neurons are firing in the very same way as the one who is seated above in heavenly places. This is what it means, let the mind of God be in you. Because you have the very same mirror neurons firing in you that Christ has firing in His mind. And you now have Christ's experience. Do you get it? You now have Christ's experience. This is why as He is, so are we now in this present world. Because we have this very same mirror neurons firing in our brain that are firing in His. And we have the mind of Christ in us. And we become who we are, and we become conformed to the image of His Son. Why? Because we have the very mirror reflection of the Son in our soul. As we have the mirror neurons firing in our brain, and as we think in our hearts, so are we. And so we are crucified with a resurrected Savior, and we're raised with Him, seated above in heavenly places, far above all things, all problems, all circumstances, all doubts, all frustrations, all fears, all anxieties, all anger, far above anything that is of the flesh or of the world or of Satan's system or of the enemy. We're above it all, and we have that experience, and we are not touched by it because we have the right mirror images in our soul, because we are now who we think. And if we think with the mind of Christ, we become the practical manifestation and the very real experience of what it literally means to be the body of Christ. Guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart with all diligence. Be careful what you let into the gates. Guard your heart with all diligence. It will be who you are.